the power.
Welcome to Blue Milk Special, the podcast. Episode 1 for Wednesday, November 13th, 2012. In this episode, we discuss the phenomenon that is Bantha Pug, and the developing news of Lucasfilm under Disney. Music by Roscoe Lewis, and you can find more of his work at day3creations.co.uk. You're listening to Rod Hanna,
Leanne Hanna,
and Kevin Kahn.
Hi, everyone. Thanks for downloading the first ever episode of BMS, the podcast.
What prompted the podcast?
Yeah. As you'll remember, Kevin, we came up to see you. I think it was around April, and we had the intention of, while we were there, recording the very first podcast, but things just fell through time-wise, and it just wasn't the best time to do it. So 2 years later, suddenly George Lucas makes this big announcement that we'll be talking about later, about the future of Lucasfilm, and suddenly fans have been set alight. It's definitely the biggest Star Wars news I've been involved with on the internet. It's an exciting time to talk about Star Wars again, and the motivation is there not just to talk about Blue Milk Special, but where Star Wars is at, where things are going. And I should add, it's an interesting time to talk about how this news affects Blue Milk Special, a fan-made webcomic which parodies Star Wars. So how does the news that we've just heard affect fan parody? We'll get to that news shortly. So I guess, this being the first episode, we should say a little bit about ourselves and who we are. Most people listening probably are familiar with us through the webcomic. I'm obviously the writer. Leanne does the artwork. I share a little bit of that. We both worked in comics, amateurishly, in my case, professionally, with Leanne.
Oh, I've worked professionally in comic books beginning in about 2003-ish. I worked for Envy Creations Art Studio. I mean, we did the Masters of the Universe He-Man comics, Space Ace, Dragon's Lair, and I was the editor for Envy Creations and got to coordinate everything with the writers and artists, and it was a lot of fun. And I also illustrated some stuff, covers and an issue of He-Man. Since then, I've done a few things here and there. I've done an issue of Casper, Perhaponauts, had some pinups in Mice Templar, and I work on Blue Milk Special.
Leanne is my wife. But that doesn't mean we've done much together. I mean, we've done Milk Special, obviously, but in terms of actually published comics in a print medium, that's something that we're working on at the moment on the side. But I've worked on the Mice Templar with Brian Glass and Mike Oeming, doing the backup articles in there. I've done some journalism for Serial Geek, a 1980s animation magazine, and published my own Once Upon a Superhero comic book about a girl who has an incredible superpower but suffers the not-so-cool consequences. So with great power comes great suckiness motif, basically.
My name's Kevin Kahn. I have done stand-up, sketch comedy. I am currently working on two web comics to be published sometime in 2013, hopefully. But in the past, I have worked with Leanne on a one-shot of an original character of mine, a superhero called Lavaroid. I'm very proud of it, mostly because of the beautiful artwork that Leanne did, where we had Lavaroid face off against a Nazi bear and other crazy, wacky, tick-like villains. I worked on a web series last year that I wrote, directed, and starred in called I Hate Earth, which is somewhat based on what, if anybody knew me from anything, is an Android Skeletor. So I'm just an all-around geek, goofball kind of guy, and happy to be here.
We're really glad to have you here with us. And Unemployed Skeletor, the character that Kevin created, had a cameo, probably the first cameo in Blue Milk Special, the strip, of any outside non-Star Wars character, where he crash lands on Tatooine in the very first escape pod. That's Kevin's early involvement in the strip.
And, we're all buddies. We're all good pals and such, and we've gotten together and had good old times.
I'll often email him a strip if I'm not sure about it and say, hey, is this really bad, or can we run with it? So he's really helpful in that respect as a consultant, but he's also submitted ideas. So if you look back at the medical droid 21B, who took a shining to Luke during the Empire Strikes Back in the Hoth base, that idea, which I really liked, actually came from Kevin.
Always a pleasure.
You can see we're all obviously very, very qualified to be talking about Star Wars. A long time ago, in a galaxy far, far away, Leanne and I decided that one of the easiest ways that we could work together, because she's always tied up with professional work, working with actual people who are established in the comic book industry, but that one of the best ways that she and I could work together, taking time away from those projects, was if we did something simple, like a webcomic where we reused a lot of artwork. Leanne was able to do a lot of stock art, and I was able to customize. So from that idea, Blue Milk Special kind of arose, and I think we'd obviously just watched Star Wars again recently, but I think everybody who's seen Star Wars a lot of times tends to crack a few jokes here and there, and I'm not trying to say any of them were great, but I definitely thought there were a couple ideas in there that I hadn't seen other people do that would be fun and something we could get across in a four-panel strip, so that's kind of where it started. And we're now at 400-plus strips. I've been going for nearly 4 years, and we're almost done with Empire Strikes Back.
Yay.
So, you know, we've come a long way.
Excellent. Yeah, something to be proud of.
Yeah, and it's a hell of a lot of drawing, too. I mean, even though the intention was to take a lot of the work out of the project for Leanne by having the stock art, it's still...
It's gotten still easier, though, as we've gone along. Yeah. I mean, figuring out, at least in terms of what I do with drawing, because everything I do now is digital. I use Manga Studio to draw everything digitally. Yeah. And then I usually draw it up, send it to Rod, and Rod usually colors it. Or I color it if he's busy working on other stuff. And he puts everything together and the lettering he runs it by me before, you know, anything's finished, and that's it.
All right. I thought we could talk about a video that I really liked. I don't know whether you did see it, didn't you, Kevin? The Bantha Pug. Okay, so Bantha Pug is a little pug dog called Chubbs, whose owner dresses him up in crazy dog outfits, but they're really, really elaborate. Now, you can find the videos of Chubbs, the dog, dressed up as a bantha with a little Tusken Raider on his back. And it looks like they actually filmed it out in the desert somewhere, sitting there panting with a little tongue, but with this big furry bantha outfit and a big saddle and a Tusken Raider action figure stuck on his back. And then he runs with his tiny little legs with the actual music from Star Wars, the John Williams soundtrack for that scene, and with the appropriate Tusken Raider sound effects. It's just hilariously cute.
When we got home, like, every few minutes I would hear the music, because Rod would be playing it again and again. And I don't even know how many times he's watched that.
Well,
it is adorable, but I just think it's adorable how often you play it.
The great thing. I was familiar with Chubbs the Pug, because while Bantha Pug is hysterical, they also did Wampa Pug.
Right, yeah.
The pug is, I love all dogs, I love cats, I love all animals, but dogs are like, I don't have a favorite. Like, I love small dogs, I love big dogs, and but pugs, are adorable. They fit in that category of awesomeness because they're so ugly, but yet they're not. They're like, they just have that cute, smooshed in, I don't know what it is, where you're just like, yeah, I can watch Chubbs anytime. You know that poor creature is miserable under. It's like, Mom, I already got fur. Why are you adding more on top of me to make, you know, a goofy video or whatever? But yeah, I didn't even, and you know what's funny is, like I said, they did the Wampa Pug video, and I thought that was it.
Yeah, I remember seeing that one.
Yeah, I didn't know that. No, yeah.
It's guys. It's Wampa.
I didn't realize.
And it's the same dog, and then Wampa Pug is just as, I mean, wow, duh. That should have been first.
And you can go and see that video on YouTube. Just type in Bantha Pug. Okay, now I think we'll talk about Angry Birds, which was just released, the Star Wars version. So Leanne downloaded it for her Droid and has been trying the game out. So Leanne, do you have any comments?
It's awesome. I haven't gotten that far in it, but I am up to the Han Solo bird. And it starts out with Luke, and then you upgrade to Luke with a lightsaber, which is awesome. And then you upgrade to Obi-Wan, which is awesome because he can use the Force. And then you upgrade to Han, and he can fire things with his weapon. And he can fire in, like, all different directions.
What do you mean his weapon?
You know what I mean? With his gun. So now I'm, like, they're in space, and it's neat because you kind of have to take into account, like, the gravity of the planets. And that kind of makes it challenging. And yeah, it's kind of neat. I mean, it can get frustrating. And it's also frustrating because when you lose a level, the Darth Vader pig comes up and laughs at you.
That's funny.
Yeah. And then there's like a special, I haven't really done it with this, but the farther you get these little Millennium Falcon tokens. And it's kind of like a special thing where you can choose to use it if you want, and it just like blasts the hell out of everything.
I've played it, and I didn't know that there were upgrades and so on, so obviously I'm still early on, only the first few levels of Luke on Tatooine, or as the French call it, Tatooine. So, yeah, but it's Angry Birds, it's addicting, it's fun. You know, who knew? You know, those guys, very smart.
Yeah, isn't it amazing? You can slap Star Wars on anything and people will just eat it up. And, you know, on Facebook I've got a bunch of friends who post about any Star Wars news. Angry Birds is one of the things, and that reaction's kind of mixed. Some reactions were a little bit along the lines of, oh my god, you know.
I played the original Angry Birds, and that was fun, but I was impressed with the way they integrated Star Wars into it, and that there's extra gimmicks and levels and things you can do. And I mean, I think that it's neat that each of the characters has and the original Angry Birds, I mean, they each had like a gimmick as you went through each bird, but it's just neat how they've integrated Star Wars into it. I mean, it doesn't feel like forced to me, no pun intended. I was actually impressed with it.
Yeah, it surprises me.
My personal feelings on it are that it's cool. I mean, as soon as I heard about it, I was excited, and I wanted to play it. So I'm not trying to. I'm definitely not one of those people who eats up anything with a Star Wars brand logo on it. You know, but this particular thing, having played Angry Birds and enjoyed it, the idea of playing it with Star Wars likenesses was enough for me to at least have a look at it. So my feelings are positive. I mean, I haven't played it yet because I don't like the idea of playing it on. On a phone, and I thought that it was going to be available on the Chrome browser or whatever, like sooner. I guess it hasn't come out yet for that, but I'd rather play it with a mouse. That's just my old-fashioned, 1990s.
You're waiting for the Commodore 64.
Yeah, I'm waiting for that.
You're like the hipster. You're like, if it's not a record player, then I'm not. No, I'm not doing it. I'm waiting for the new Star Wars toys from Kenner.
Do not call me a hipster.
I mean, Leanne and I have talked about this with He-Man and such, but, you know, where I'm a fan of Star Wars, but I'm not like a diehard at the same time where I have to buy everything or, you know, whatever. But I'm also mixed sometimes. So yeah. To be truthful, when I first heard of it, it was one of those, literally this was the reaction of, oh, come on. That's yeah. ridiculous. Are you going to download it? Well, yeah, because it's Angry Birds. But what I was going to say, which I think is impressive, which I'm like, oh, that's cool, what Dan said was, I didn't know about, like, you know, the gravity changes. So obviously, it's not a Spaceballs merchandising type thing where, you know, they could have easily just slapped the name on it, but it seems like they did try to work and make a story and make it a new type of game. You know what I mean?
Right. Where
it's not
yeah.
just, just slap a sticker yeah. on there and called Star Wars. You know? So, okay.
Well, they had the good sense to make the first game yeah. based on A New Hope, the first Star Wars film. It might seem intuitive, but in this day and age, with Lucas the way he was towards Star Wars, I wouldn't necessarily have thought that they would. You know, it could have been a mix and match. It could have been bits of every movie. But it looks to me like it's just A New Hope following that along. I could be wrong. But that's kind of cool. Because that, I think, is the most iconic of the films, obviously.
We're thrilled that George has entrusted the future of his extraordinary legacy to the Walt Disney Company and recognize what an honor it is.
They're large enough, and the match of what our two companies are is just perfect because we're like a mini Disney. We have the same kind of operations. We do the same kind of thing. And I've worked with Disney over the years, and I know how they operate. So it was a perfect match of two companies that are constructed similarly, do the same kind of product, and I think it'll give me a chance to go off and explore my own interests at the same time, feel completely confident that Disney will take good care of the franchise I've built.
And I felt that I really wanted to put the company somewhere in a larger entity which would protect it. Disney is a huge corporation. They have all kinds of capabilities and facilities, so that there's a lot of strength that is gained by this.
We're already moving forward with plans to continue the epic Star Wars saga. The last Star Wars movie release was 2005's Revenge of the Sith, and we believe there's substantial pent-up demand. In 2015, we're planning to release Star Wars Episode 7, the first feature film under the Disney-Lucas brand. That will be followed by episodes 8 and 9, and our long-term plan is to release a new Star Wars feature film every 2 to 3 years. We're very happy that George Lucas will be creative consultant on our new Star Wars films, and that Kathleen Kennedy, the current co-chair of Lucasfilm, will executive produce the films. George handpicked Kathy earlier this year to lead Lucasfilm into the future, and she'll join Disney as president of Lucasfilm, reporting into Walt Disney Studios Chairman Alan Horn, and integrating and building the Star Wars franchise across our company.
Thanks, Leanne.
You're welcome.
Okay. Thanks.
So...
Hey, goodbye.
What? Hey!
Ooh, you know what you should do?
Okay,
you should leave when we say thanks. Then what? You should cut to the music of Luke and Leia looking at the ship taking off from Empire Strikes Back, and Leanne, and that's the end of Leanne for the show. Now we can talk with him.
All right, so that was huge news. What was, Kevin, what was your first impression? How did you hear about the news? Was it a big deal?
No, it was like any, I'm sure the most, like everybody else, where online, and I think it was Twitter. And, you know, I mean, say what you will about Twitter. It is great for breaking news, like it on anything. It's like,
I agree,
bam.
Kevin.
Yeah, but it And it was, again, kind of disbelief. I was going to say I never thought I'd see Star Wars 7, 8, 9. This is the truth. This is going to sound morbid, but oh well. I knew we were going to get, eventually, Star Wars 7, 8, 9, because I kept saying, when Lucas croaks, his kids are going to cash in ASAP with that. I mean, meaning everyone was always like, oh, he makes too much money. He's put Star Wars on everything. I was just like, just wait until his kids take over. And no, he was just like, you know what, I'm not going to do it. I'm just going to do it now. And wow, it was impressive and shocking, to say the least. So that's where I was. It was just literally, I think I was out, I came home, and it was just like, it just blew up, and I was just like, ah! And I had the same reaction of everybody else of just like, it was excitement. You know, whether you not like Star Wars anymore, or whether you're disappointed with the prequels, Star Wars is a part of everyone, whether you like it or not. And I think everyone had a reaction in some.
So was your reaction, it sounds like your reaction is more about the news of a new Star Wars film, but what about the Disney side of it?
I think the first, because what I first read was that Disney buys it, but it was immediately followed by they announced Star Wars 7 for 2015. That overpowered everything. I mean, they could have said, you know, Lucas is, you know, ruled as Supreme Lord and Master of Earth, announces Star Wars 7. I'd be like, wow, they're making Star Wars 7. Why is there a collar around my neck? You know, it was like, that was to me the more exciting thing. As far as the business side of it, yeah, I mean, eventually it was just like, wow, I mean, Disney with Marvel, you know, and Disney, I mean, you know, Pixar, of course, it was just like, that's huge. I mean, and the possibilities of what they can do are, you know, pretty much endless what they can do. This is huge. You have so many deals going through in Hollywood and so on and so forth, and businesses merging. This is long-term, though. This is not a, it was good for both parties, and then everyone will... No, like, this is for the next 50-plus years. I mean, Star Wars, like I said 5 minutes ago or whatever, this is huge for, you know, Star Wars is a part of everybody, and now that Disney owns it, I mean, not only the movies, but maybe that eventual live-action TV show, and of course, animated, you know, is definitely in the works.
You know, I just had a not-so-good vision. Okay, this is like a conspiracy theory. So he decides he wants to sell to get out. He wants to cash in or whatever, get out of, you know, give Lucasfilm over. But he knows the reaction is going to be kind of mixed, or it's going to be a lot of shock, maybe a lot of anger perhaps because of it being Disney. Maybe he perceives some of that. So he says, okay, let's announce that we're going to do a Star Wars film because that will sweeten the pill or whatever. So what if in a couple of weeks' time, it's, it kind of fell through and we're going to negotiate something and maybe it won't happen 2015, but it will happen. Well, and then they drag it out and then nothing happens. And it's just
you know what?
Just for merchandising. I don't subscribe to that. I'm just saying that thought just occurred to me and I don't for a second believe
it. Well, can I say honestly, you know? I mean, like I said, it may sound that I'm totally awesome with the deal and so on, but I read something today about... not about the movies per se, but like if somebody brought up a good point, I wouldn't mind if they delayed it because you're filming in 2015. You have no script. You have no cast. You have no, like, that is scary. And again, I know it's Star Wars, and I'm sure, even though he said he hasn't thought of it, or I'm sure there is definitely a plot and an outline somewhere, but still, I was like, don't rush to get to that date, people. You know what I mean? Like, this is because overall, the excitement for me was that, you know, wow, you could, down the line, not saying for the first one or whatever, but you could have like a Brad Bird or, you know, a new up-and-coming, you know, director or tons of great actors out there, you know, that could be a part of a new continuation. You know what I mean? Like, the prequels to me were always going to be felt stunted. You know what I mean? Because they couldn't. They had to still stay in that world, you know. But with the now that you're done, hopefully, I don't know, but again, not to go into story rumors, but hopefully this is a whole new story, and it's just, you know, 20 years or whatever into the future. So I don't know.
I definitely hope so, but yeah. I mean, I think it has to be, but well, the plan is we're going to talk more about the what the Star Wars 7 movie might be like and what rumors are and thoughts are in the second episode, if we make it that far.
I look at it as I'm investing in Disney because that's my retirement fund.
So apparently the money that George Lucas is getting out of this deal, half of it is in cash, the rest is in shares. But of the money that he's obviously getting, he's going to be investing that in education. So he's doing something really good with that money. And as soon as I read that, my immediate reaction was, oh, wow, that you know, new respect from me for him. But, I mean, he's been doing, as one of our readers pointed out, he's been a patron for education for a number of years now. Making that announcement does kind of put to rest a lot of the inevitable questions. Oh, why does George Lucas need all this money? It was good that he announced it as soon as he did. Obviously, he's retiring now. He's still talking about making an independent movie of his own, like a small kind of thing, perhaps more personal. And that sounds great for him. My first reaction was that he was stepping back from it because he was tired of it. You know, exhausted with it. When he came back to do the prequels, maybe he felt that he had to. Yeah. Something he owed the fans or something. But making his own movies, again, theoretically, I mean, that's what he says he wants to do. So if it, that could be a good
I
thing,
think,
at least for him.
You know, to talk about the retirement and the... well, first off, for the education, he has been very involved for many years in a lot of difficulties and so on. And as far as retiring, and like you mentioned about being sick of it, you know, I would be too. Meaning, and I think you all might agree, that when we grew up with Star Wars and fandom, it is completely different than what it is today, where you have something called, and don't worry, I'm not going to curse, it's called the F word, it's called forums. There are a lot of angry people in this world, and I would too. Like, meaning, if you're producing something, and don't get me wrong, I'm not a fan of the prequels. I mean, there are parts that are good, and others I'm like, what? But at the same time, I'm not calling him, you know, the devil, and he's, you know, destroyed my childhood and all that. So if you're that person, and you're getting that, it's like, oh, okay, I made a new film for you. What is it? Like, just like, I made a film for you. I thought you, get it out of my face. Okay, you don't want a new film? No, I want a new film. Well, wait, you just said you didn't want it. I want, like, I can't please you. So, and yeah. You know, let the man retire and be happy and peaceful and, yeah.
Yeah, you'd think it would start to get a little old because, I mean, I remember when, okay, the People versus George Lucas documentary movie came out. I saw that as being like a kind of cathartic thing for fandom, but, you know, it's still people out there quick to bash and be very vicious with their comments, so it's...
Oh, yeah.
It's still happening, you know.
Yeah.
When's it going to end? You know, where does it end?
I mean, again, hopefully he'll be able to enjoy retirement, maybe make another, you know, personal film, you know.
Yeah, I think... When I first heard about the Disney thing, and, you know, I was first really shocked, but then I was kind of excited because we've seen what George Lucas does. I mean, with the prequels, that's his, you know, what he thinks Star Wars is now. Like, I kind of feel like originally, you know, he was making his own thing. He had the story, he had these really interesting characters. And that kind of evolved, and the prequels are what he thinks Star Wars is. Tons of lightsaber fights, and, you know, it's like stuff he thinks that Star Wars is, or that people would like. Like, he's trying to cater to this fan base, but it's, I don't know.
If you watch the DVDs, and you put on the commentary track and closed caption, during all three films, you hear George Lucas saying, right? This is what you want, right? Like, it's not. You guys have done this in your comic where you've had old George Lucas meet, you know, new George Lucas, which is a hilarious and brilliant concept. you kind of want that to happen anyway, because it's just like Lee had said about that, the prequels kind of became something what he, in a weird way, he kind of said that maybe he was afraid to do, because I would love to see what he originally wanted, you know, to have, you know, that like some, I believe it was a YouTube channel, I think Belated Media talked about, or somebody talked about how, well, no, Jedi's, I think maybe it was somebody who redesigned Star Wars, and they said the Jedi's, they wiped out the whole new look of costumes for each Jedi, because the idea was, well, no, Obi-Wan Kenobi was wearing a robe because he was on Tatooine and he needed it. So that doesn't, you know, that doesn't mean that.
It doesn't mean that that's what every Jedi wears.
Everyone has to wear a robe.
Right.
Right.
So it kind of feels like he's kind of lost that point or forgotten. It's not an intuitive thing. Like, why is he wearing farmer robes or whatever? I mean, Uncle Owen could be a Jedi based on what he's wearing, you know? It's just what people wear on that planet.
Everybody.
It makes sense. But suddenly everybody, you know, Mace Windu's walking around looking like he's on, you know. I just imagine they'd look a little cooler. When Luke showed up in Return of the Jedi, and he's in all black and everything, this is what a Jedi is. He's a badass guy, and looks cool and
black. Yeah, and it's like, that's what happened, I think. You know, Lucas saw these iconic things, like the look of, you know, Obi-Wan, or the lightsabers, or the spaceships. And so he just packs the prequels full of this stuff. And then it turns it into something else. I mean, it's overkill. So when I heard about Disney taking this over and that George Lucas was only going to be in, you know, kind of consultant role, I was excited, because I was like, well, now, you know, these people who are probably fans of the original can come in and hopefully inject some new life into this series.
Yeah, that's where I am, too.
Speaking of how we heard about it, just going back, Leanne, Hurricane Sandy or Tropical Storm Sandy? You know, we had the day off of work.
Wasn't it like the day after?
It was moving out. I think the storm was moving out, and we were home that day because we'd be given the day off, like a lot of people around here. Workers closed, and I was lying down in the bedroom. My head was aching like crazy. I was just trying to get some sleep. And then Leanne shouts out from the living room.
She says, shoot,
right?
That's exactly what she says.
She says it all the time. She's from the 1940s. And, you know, I don't know what she's about to say. Like, you know, there's a new storm, mega storm has just formed, or there's a tornado coming. But she says, Disney has bought Lucasfilm. It wasn't one of those things which I doubted. I mean, for a second I thought, okay, April Fool's. Wait, it's not April. I mean, I was like, oh my God, my head's killing me. I want to sleep. But I sit there for like 10 seconds processing what she said. I'm like, okay. So I drag myself up. And so within like the next 20 minutes, you know, I'm on the internet and people are talking about it. And then within an hour, I've done a BMS strip, you know, where we're talking about Leia being a Disney princess. And at the time, that was new. Now, I wouldn't even share that strip or put it up, because people are going to look at that and be like, oh, great, another Leia's a Disney princess joke, you know. But it was contemporary at the time. You already sort of talked about your reaction.
I was shocked at first and then, you know, kind of excited. And then when I started to think about Blue Milk Special and that aspect, I kind of got depressed, because, you know, one of the good things about Lucasfilm and about George Lucas is they've always been really encouraging to fans. You know, fan films, they have contests and things, you know, they have the celebration conventions. I mean, they've always been really encouraging and accepting of creativity and fans. And Disney is the opposite. I mean, Disney is really hardcore, you know, you better not mess with their property. And so now that Disney owns...
They take children's movies and they lock them in vaults. It alone is scary. Hey kids, you like this movie? Yeah, well,
that's
your
true.
Cat did
that's
it
true,
for
right?
7 years.
I mean, it was scary, because I mean, I don't know if, you know, I don't know how much control, you know, Lucasfilm is going to have now, or how that's going to work out with fans. And I mean, Blue Milk Special is a non-profit. I mean, we don't make money off of the comic, and all the strips are online for free. But at the same time, it's still scary because you don't know what Disney's going to do, if they're going to decide to send you a cease and desist, or, you know, because now it's their characters, well, and they don't, you know, I don't know. But I did get really depressed, actually, wondering about this stuff.
We thought the same.
That was my fear,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, obviously. I mean, it was like, it was excitement of, ooh, new films, and ooh, a new studio, and fresh. And then, yeah, and then I read about that, you know, and I already knew, but it's more of a reminder that Disney is strict with artists and so on, with their characters and so forth. But my only hope is that, you know, like you guys mentioned, I mean, you know, BMS is only going through Return, correct? Return of the Jedi, and that's it.
We're going to do a number of strips just on a few key scenes, yeah, that we feel kind of have enough there that
prequels
are worthy,
okay,
of a strip from the prequels.
You guys, I think we're saying a guesstimate was 2015 anyway, right? So when you guys possibly wrap. So, I mean, hopefully,
yeah,
this cracking down, if it happens with the fans, won't happen until as the film is about to come out, so on. However, the last few years especially, the other hope is that, you know, the internet is powerful. And I do think, I mean, when you guys weren't the only ones who are worried about, oh, geez, I'm going to not be able to draw these characters anymore for either prints or so on. And I think that has already been brought up to them. So I think if they're going to do that, like any political person, they're going to wait until it dies down. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like you brought up a good point about Lucas announcing the movie to calm the anger of, oh my God. So it could be the same thing where it's just like,
yes,
hey, stop, you know, press release. No, nobody can make any more Star Wars stuff unless it's officially licensed from Disney. Why? Because next month a new movie comes out. Here's some candy. You know, it's just like.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that's quite believable, you know? That could be the way they might handle that. And what I wanted to say is, you know, we know that with Lucasfilm, they supported the fans, yeah, they supported fan movies, they had fan movie competitions, they run the official
right,
Star Wars convention celebration. You know, they do all these things, they're involved with fandom. I mean, it's not like they allow fans to do anything. I mean, there's some control, but it seems kind of like they're able to look at something. Hopefully, if they looked at Blue Milk Special, they'd look at it and hopefully they'd laugh and think this is harmless, because it is really just fan art. But under Disney, I'm sure that Lucasfilm will still have some control over that, but Disney's legal side will definitely influence them a little bit, I think. I expect that there will be a stronger enforcement in the future. You could go to court and you could say, hey, look, this character belongs to everybody now, or this is just a parody. But if you're making money off of it, it's legally, that money or royalty is legally entitled to go to Lucasfilm and Disney now, you know. So
do you think that it's possible now that Disney owns Star Wars that we could see a DVD or Blu-ray release of the original trilogy without, you know, as it was, without, you know, no special effects added.
Yeah.
You know, but I mean, like, so a nice,
yeah,
proper, cleaned up.
Yeah. You mean where they've done a restoration, like a basic restoration? Not like, oh, let's enhance the colors. Let's just get the best we can out of the film. Yeah, that's the kind of restoration,
right,
I should do. The kind of restoration you would do for any classic movie, you know, Casablanca or anything like that that's in the Library of Congress or wherever they store these things. Yeah. Yeah, and I think that will happen. I think it's going to take, it probably won't be, you know, next year, or it might not even be in the next couple of years, but it's a pretty safe bet to say within a decade,
yeah,
maybe, you know. But, I mean, that option exists now, certainly.
I can see them making that their first order of business before the new one comes out, like, you know, to build the hype.
That would be a huge political move.
You,
I mean, a really good political move.
Release them as is, and if you buy it, you get your first look at the new film. Boom.
There you go.
Thank you. Where's my check, Disney? Thank you. I just gave you a brilliant idea.
Well, we should talk about fan reaction to the news, because we talked about our personal reactions to the news. But the thing that kind of annoys me is the reaction is all based on the word Disney. And people are just leaping on it and reacting as if it means that there's going to be animated musical movies coming out with the Star Wars characters, and it's going to, like, you know, turn it into some kind of just sugary animated franchise. And why would that happen? I mean, the trouble is people forget that Disney primarily make live action movies and television shows, and, you know, they're a huge, huge entertainment company, or a global company. But people's initial reaction is just like, oh no, we're going to see Princess Leia with Snow White and Aurora and Jasmine and I know too many names, right? I can't see that. That knee-jerk reaction was really
on the animated
surprising.
Level, the last years, two things immediately come to mind, one of which is Wreck-It Ralph is Disney, not Pixar, even though people, I mean, but again, they're associated with Pixar. And I feel like Pixar has become more their standard anyway of Disney. If you look at Wreck-It Ralph, I mean, it is kind of like, even though it's a Disney film, it really does feel like Pixar and vice versa. So I think that is a good thing, that Disney is now going more towards that direction. And number two, as another fan of another animated property of theirs, is the Tron cartoon on Disney XD is amazing and very... really not childish at all, and very, you know, I've been really enjoying it.
I mean, worst case scenario, the guys at the top of Disney just suddenly all turn insane, and they decide from now on it's just like some kind of little Tykes franchise, but obviously they're going to make as much money as they can off of Star Wars. It's just good business. So they're going to try to appeal to every age group. So there may be a spin-off animated series for the young kids, just like they do with Marvel's Superhero Squad, you know, where they're highly cartoonized, kind of chibi-looking versions of Captain America or Spider-Man and everybody else. And that's just aimed at children. And then you've still got the Marvel movies coming out, the Avengers, Iron Man, all that kind of stuff for a totally different audience. It doesn't... Just because Disney has a capability and the reputation for having done children's animated movies does not mean that's the only thing we're going to see with Star Wars. So I'm not too concerned in that regard, like some other fans are. But there's been positive reaction from fans who just obviously like anything to do with Star Wars. So hearing any news that there'll be more Star Wars means this is great. And there's positive reaction from fans who dislike the prequels, and they hope that a future Star Wars series without George Lucas, or with less influence from George Lucas, is a good thing. But then you've also got pessimistic reactions from people who just think Star Wars should be left alone. I can understand that. If I think back to a world, you know, after Return of the Jedi, where the only other thing was the Ewok movies. There was the Caravan of Courage, and there was Battle for Endor, two Ewok spin-off movies for kids. That was it. I mean, I wasn't happy with those. I probably watched them and enjoyed them enough at the time, but I knew they weren't the same thing. I didn't just want to watch little bears running around. As much as I probably appreciated them being young at the time, but I really wanted to see, you know, more adventures of Luke. I wanted to hear an announcement that they were going to do another trilogy, which had been rumored, which never happened. But had they not made anything else, think of what a legend Star Wars would be. I mean, this fantastic middle movie, Empire Strikes Back, the incredible first movie, Star Wars, the good conclusion, with its high point being the fight between Vader and Luke, but not necessarily the ultimate conclusion, but it was still entertaining as hell to watch. That would be a great thing to remember if it was just that was all Star Wars ever was. It would be like, wow, that was a great movie series. That's a classic. It's a legend. It's let's leave it untouched. But I don't think there's any one of us who back then wouldn't have wanted to see another Star Wars movie. And only because of the prequels are some people saying that Star Wars should just be left alone. There shouldn't be anything else.
I would love to own a VHS copy of Return of the Jedi with Rod as a critic. Having his quote on the back of the box, just saying, hey, it's all right.
Well, you know what? I mean, I like Return of the Jedi. I do like Return of the Jedi.
Oh,
I mean, I liked it as a kid. I thought it was great. you know. But I mean, now as an adult, I can see that they could have done more with it. I mean, you know, I mean, when I look at Empire Strikes Back, I don't think, oh, they could have done more with this movie, you know. So obviously, there is you can reach a high point with a film. So with Return of the Jedi,
no, you know what makes that movie good?
Made it even better.
The baby Ewok hugging Han Solo's leg. That is freaking adorable.
You want to know? Like, oh my! You want to know some true fact about that baby Ewok hugging Harrison Ford's leg?
Are you going to ruin this for me, Kevin?
Yeah.
What'd you say?
That was me.
It was you.
He's going to ruin.
That was me. I was the baby Ewok. Now know another job resume that Kevin Conn was the baby Ewok that hugged Han Solo's leg. I'm a liar, by the way. Wouldn't that be sad if that guy... Oh my gosh, I just thought of that. Wouldn't that be sad if that guy is at, like, comic conventions? You know, like, who are you supposed to be? Baby Walker's guy?
I would get a picture with that guy.
I'd have him hugging me. That's the photo would be...
And then you'd be able to show people and then be like, oh, that's a baby.
He needs a hug in the picture ops.
Yeah.
He hugs people's legs. That's what he does.
Yeah, I agree with Leanne. That was definitely the high point of Return of the Jedi. You know what we should do in BMS now? We should have that baby Ewok hugging like everybody's leg, like the Emperor's leg up in the throne room. He's just there at the Emperor's feet at the bottom of the throne.
You know what you do? You make. I'm sorry to keep making references, but you make him like Lukey from He-Man. It's the She-Ra. You just like have him in the background. Just
Where's Waldo? Spot him in the background.
There he is, just hugging. Just always hugging.
Where's the baby Ewok? Yeah, we could sneak him in. We could definitely do that. Yeah. This is an annoying thing about doing a chronological parody of Star Wars, is that every so often I think of something for Return of the Jedi, and it's going to be months, I mean, less months now, but it's still so long away. I mean, I scripted stuff at the end of 2008, beginning of 2009, and I scripted it all the way through to Return of the Jedi, about 300 strips. There's certain story arcs that I'm in... you know, inserting into the Return of the Jedi parody that I have been dying to, you know, reveal and finally get out there. But it always worries me that someone else is going to come up with it in the meantime, because it's now been 4 years since we started. I've been sitting on some of these ideas for 4 years, and I'm not going to be starting Return until probably the middle of January or the middle of February next year. Maybe later, because we're going to do Shadows of the Empire real quick in between, which is our little team.
My favorite scene in Shadows of the Empire is when Prince Xizor, right? he's there, and he's got Ewok is hugging his leg. That's my favorite. That's my favorite part.
That was the highlight.
It was the highlight, and you know it's why happening. It was called it's Shadows happening. Of the Empire yeah. because the shadows. Baby Ewok hugging people. That's what it was.
Exactly. Shadows of the baby Ewok.
Terrifying.
I like
terrifying.
It. All right, well, thank you for joining us for our first ever episode of Blue Milk Special, the podcast, and we hope you'll download our next episode, which may be sometime next week. May the forciness be with you. Music by Roscoe Lewis, and you can find more of his work at day3creations.co.uk. For more information about Blue Milk Special, you can go to bluemilkspecial.com.